Good evening. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, a league of nations among other internet stations. Voices of the people, united we roar. Today is November 9th. It is now 49 degrees in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we're expecting rain tomorrow. But we don't care because we're inside and we're going to be listening to a fabulously new program with Victor Folkman and Irene Watson called Author Access. So without further ado, I am going to bring to you the two co-hosts of this show, Irene Watson and Victor Folkman. Good afternoon.
Hi, Lillian. This is Irene Watson. I'm the managing editor of Reader Views, and it was 88 degrees in Austin, Texas today.
Oh, that sounds great, Irene.
Yeah, I should rub it in.
I'm Victor Folkman from Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We're speaking to you live today from Ann Arbor, Michigan and Austin, Texas, over the InternetVoicesRadio.com network. You can hear us every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on this station. Today's topic is qualifying your idea for a book, and our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Steve Neubauer of WordWrite.biz. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. If you want to participate in this evening's show, you can instant message us with the address info@authorsaccess.com. Send us your questions or comments, and we'll read them over the air. Later on, we'll open the phones for callers so you can join us. That number again is 712-432-3000. Then type in the six-digit access code, 347-656. If you have a brief question for our guest, feel free to call our toll-free question line at 888-379-5442, and we'll put your question on the air. Now, Steve Neubauer is a co-founder of the publishing firm WordWrite.biz Incorporated. This company serves as an incubator for new authors and works with professional speakers and consultants to create books about their specialty areas. Steve has worked for 25 years with IBM as a senior market intelligence professional, researching and analyzing emerging social, technological, environmental, economic, and political trends. His analyses have helped shape the designs of many products and services that lead the industry in new and innovative approaches. Steve now focuses on helping new writers establish themselves and fulfill their publication dreams. Along with his wife, Joan, they own and operate WordWrite.biz Incorporated and help new and talented writers. They offer everything an author needs from editing, cover design, typesetting, distribution, royalty management, and promotion. And now we're going to go to this week's special guest, Steve Neubauer. Hello, Steve, and welcome to Authors Access.
Well, thank you very much, Victor, and I just want to thank you and Lillian and especially Irene for all her help in inviting me here to be on Reader's Views, and I'm looking forward to a nice evening here talking with everybody. By the way, I'm sitting in the mountains of West Texas near the Mexican border here in the Big Bend of Texas. Let me tell you first a little bit about WordWrite. We're a traditional royalty publisher with about 200 books to our credit at this point. And by traditional royalty publisher, I mean we buy manuscripts. And we don't actually specialize in genres. We specialize in authors. We're, as you mentioned, an author incubator. And we're looking to for those new and talented authors that can go on to big and great things as authors. And our website is www.wordwrite. And WordWrite is WordWrite.biz. Now, last week, if you were fortunate enough to hear Patricia Fry, you heard a lot of excellent information about market size and competitive analysis, and she concluded by talking about the importance of the platform. And I was going to pick up right where she left off and focus on the platform and another thing that is very important to authors, the marketing plan. I'll also let you know here that during this presentation, I'm going to have a couple, three free giveaways to people who will email me. So as you're listening, everything I'm going to be talking about, I can email to anybody who would like it. And so we'll just go on and talk about the platform where Patricia left off to begin. And basically, when you think about the author's platform, Patricia was talking about like your ability to reach out and command an audience. And the platform is important from a publisher's perspective because as a publisher, especially a traditional royalty publisher, really what you're asking that publisher to be is your investment banker. So if you were opening a business and you went to the bank, they would want to know, why are you a good investment? And that's where the platform becomes important. So it includes things like how well you are known in your field and what is your reputation and your expertise. But it also goes beyond that. And there are some quantifiable characteristics that we look for in authors that tells us what their potential is. Because remember, now we're working with new authors, so we often don't have an author who has a great platform yet, but we're looking for the indicators. And we look at three things that we define as the platform. They include the manuscript, the author themselves, and the marketing and sales promotion skills. And when we look at the market, I'm going to go into each one of those in detail now. When we look at the manuscript, one of the things we start asking you about right away is, do you have a one-page written synopsis about your book? And we're assuming at this point that your book is complete and that you can write a one-page synopsis. And some authors find that quite difficult. I think many authors would find it easier to write a one-page synopsis about somebody else's book because they can pick out the highlights. And sometimes authors struggle for that ability to do that. But it's very, very important that you can present to a publisher the one-page synopsis so they can get a real quick feel for what your book is about. It's also an advantage in most cases to have the book finished. And so that if they like the synopsis, they can say, the publisher can say, well, please send me the whole manuscript. And if they're interested, the iron is hot and it's a time to strike. So that's why it's an advantage for you to say, oh, yes, I'll put it in the mail to you immediately or I'll email it to you, because more and more publishers are going for email submissions. And that's what we do at WordWrite, as a matter of fact. And it's also very important, and Tricia touched on this as well, does your manuscript meet all of the guidelines for the publisher and for the genre you're submitting to? So if you're sending in a romance or you're sending in science fiction, we obviously don't have time to go into what are all of the characteristics and requirements of those different genres, but you need to know that you're meeting all of the requirements for the genre, both not only word length, but for story structure as well. And this applies to fiction as well as nonfiction. One of the biggest problems that new authors get into with their genre is a lot of new authors will mix their genre. So they'll have some of the characteristics of one and some of the other. And that's difficult for a new author to sell that type of book because they're not well-known. Now, a well-known author can often get away with that because their name is such a large platform that the mixing the genres may not hold anything back. So then we also start to focus on the author. And now we go to even a more synopsis of your book. We like to see if the authors can tell us about their book in a crisp, business-like, to-the-point, and exciting, interesting way in 30 seconds. And so we call that the elevator speech. You may have heard that. So you get on an elevator, and you just happen to bump into a big-time publisher or agent, and you need to be able to tell that person about your book, or less. And that's sometimes all the time you get to capture a publisher or agent's attention. So it's very, very important to do that and rehearse that. Then we also look at the author's background in the past 5 years. We try to find out how many writers' conferences and workshops and seminars have you attended. So we like to see that they're honing your craft and your learning and your interest. So you're not just sitting by yourself and writing your novel, but you engage the whole environment of writing. And we like to know how many publications or newsletters about writing publish subscribe to. And do you belong to a writer's organization or a critique group? All of these things are places where you're demonstrating your whole business of writing and that you're trying to learn as much as you can. We also like to know, do you have an agent? Obviously, from a publisher standpoint, if you've secured the services of an agent, you've already made it through a huge hurdle. So you have a bigger platform than who does not, because somehow you've been able to convince this agent that they should invest their time. So that's also very, very important. And we'd like to know how much success you've had previously. And this can range from, have you been published previously with a major royalty house or a mid-sized house, or are you down at local publications, or you've done a subsidy book? all of these things are good to build your platform. Maybe you've only been published via a web page on the Internet, but all of them show that you are published at some level, and the higher you are on that scale, the bigger your platform. So you can work on building your platform, build your career. We also would like to know how many books you've sold in the past. You know, if it's greater than 100,000 copies or 5,000 to 10,000 copies, obviously would not be as big a platform. But any number demonstrates quality of your platform, the size of it. And we would like to look at public speaking experience. So we ask you regularly present to 250 people or more. We come down to 50 or 100 people on occasional, or maybe only to 10 to 50. Or is it that you rarely make public presentations, or you don't make them at all? So obviously people who command an audience of, on a regular basis of 250 or more have a larger platform. That's what we're looking for. We want to invest in the person that has the biggest platform available to them when they purchase the manuscript. And then we ask statements like, which statement best describes how well you are known? You know, are you known by millions of people across the country, or are you known by tens of thousands of, or a few thousand people in your state? Obviously you see our thought process there. And it's not just our thought process. This is what publishers are looking for in the way of platform. Here's a great one you can do, and publishers are doing this more and more. We do it here at WordWrite. When I enter your name into the Google search engine, how many results do I get, or hits? Do I get more than a million, or, you know, do I get less than 100, or none at all? I can get, that's kind of an independent way for me to find out how well you are known, because I can do a famous author to the search engine. You'll get an idea of, you know, put Stephen King in, see how many you get. You'll get the idea what a megastar author gets. And then put somebody that's fairly well known in your area. And you can get a pretty good feel by plugging in about four or five names of how famous somebody is. By, and obviously, we're looking for the more hits, the better. We also like to know how willing you are to accept edits. We don't, and publishers don't enjoy working with people who are difficult to work with. So those are some of the things we look for in the platform in the first two categories. And in marketing and sales, whether you're going to be self-publishing, vanity publishing, or working with a royalty house like ourselves, you're going to need to think about marketing and sales. And do you have a marketing plan that describes the demographics? That's one of the questions we ask. Now, who are the readers? And I remember Patricia touching on that the other day. You know, how many copies of this book do you sell? And when we ask that question, we're not asking how many you're going to buy from us. We don't require any authors to ever buy books. And but how many do you think you can sell in the marketplace? And then when we're interviewing and talking, we're going to ask you why you chose that. Is it greater than 100,000 or less than 5,000 somewhere? And we want to know on average how much time per week you'll devote to promotional activity. You know, obviously the more time, the better. So is it 20 to 40 hours a week or 1 to 9, or you're not planning on spending any time? You expect that we're going to sell it. I heard Patricia talk about that last week. If you're expecting the publisher to sell it, that hardly ever happens to the author. To get out there and the presentation, travel to the locations where you need. And that's one of the questions we ask. We ask you, how far are you willing to travel? Is it greater than 1,000 miles, or is it less, or 100, 250, whatever it is, obviously is better. Now, I have all of these questions, self-evaluation form, where we've assigned points to all the different answers. And you add up the points, and you can do a self-evaluation, see where it falls. And we define the different scorings of what you're ready for, whether you're definitely ready to go to a royalty house because you have a high score, or you're close, and maybe we can talk about it, or you're low, and maybe we can help work with you to fill in the gaps. If you would like a copy of the form, just send me an email to WordWrite, that's WordWrighT, at bigbend.net, and I'll send you those right out. Now, the other thing that we try to do, as I mentioned, I was talking about this in the introduction, is the marketing plan. And you will need a marketing plan whether you're doing traditional publishing or you went to a vanity press. Think about this. And some of the things that we have that we look for in the marketing plan from authors, can you describe your target market? Who is the reader of your book? What are their interests, hobby, education level, estimated yearly income, their age, and any other pertinent information? And then we'd like to know which geographic areas you're going to focus on to try to sell your book. Like, once again, how many miles per month do you plan to travel your book into this geographic area? We'd also like you to list 3 to 5 books of a similar type that the readers you've identified would also find interest. This gets you thinking about your marketplace and how it, where it fits. And here's an important thing. Is there anything happening in the news that might have a possible connection to your book that you could leverage? If yes, what? And that can really vary greatly. And there may be some bandwagon, something that's of great interest to the population or geographic area that you can use to leverage. And we'd like to also know how much money you're planning on promotion. Very rarely do publishers provide money to authors promotion, wanting to know what you're going to do. What kind of image to nurture? And that's a key question, you know, such as, are you going to be an expert in your field? Are you going to be lively and entertaining, studious? You're one of the guys. You're going to be a bubba. Or whatever it is that makes sense, what image are you going to try to promote as you go out and promote your book? And we want you to think about that and come up with the characteristic that you will emphasize, make you sing. We'd also like to know the topics that you present at a speaking, because we do help our authors find speaking engagement, so that becomes very valuable if we try to promote. And then we want to know which avenues, by avenues I mean television, radio, direct mail, yellow pages, billboards, whatever it is. Now, I've rushed through that pretty fast, but I also have this as a handout where you can take a look at this template and think about yourself and your own book. And if you'd like a copy of the marketing plan template, I'd be happy to email that to you as well. And once again, the email address is WordWright, that's WordWright, at BigBen.net. We have a couple of other things that we'd like to invite you to do as giveaways. We have published a book that's entitled Special Delivery. And what it is, it's a collection of the columns that we publish in our free weekly newsletter that contain writing tips, things about the business, about public speaking, all kinds of helpful hints and how-to articles that probably go from to nuts, from idea stage to promotion of your book. And what I'd like to be able to do is the first 25 people that will send me an email asking for the free copy of Special Delivery, I will just send those out to you. Please be sure to include your snail mail address so I know where to mail the copies. So just ask for the special free copy of the Special Delivery, and we'll send those 25 out. And since those articles in that book come from our newsletter, if you'd like to subscribe to the newsletter as well so you get future articles we publish, we'd be happy to do that as well and put that request to that same mail address. So with that, I guess I'm ready for any questions you might have.
Well, Steve, gosh, before I do ask the question, I just want to tell our listeners that if they would like to pose a question to Steve, they can email info@authorsaccess.com, or they may phone 712-432-3000. And the access code is 347-656. You phone this number, they can ask you directly. Well, gosh, you know, listening to what you're talking about, I'm thinking, oh, I just thought I was just going to write a book. Obviously, there's a lot more to it. And I think that you've presented a lot of really good, good points. One thing I want to bring up is the synopsis. Right at the beginning, you mentioned a one-page synopsis. Being that we're with I have a review service, and we ask for a synopsis, it is interesting how sometimes some authors will send a one line, and they don't really realize that this is the selling feature. And so it was interesting for you to mention that right off the bat. I want to just ask you to just expand a little bit more on this and what really goes into that synopsis.
Well, in the one-page synopsis, you're trying to capture the publisher or the agent, because they're used in both places. You're trying to capture and spark their interest. So you're going to want to make sure they know what kind of, what genre book it is, what makes it special, how many words are in that in your manuscript, know whether it fits what the type size book they handle and genre. And then you're going to want to have something there that really grab their attention and make them go, gosh, I really want to retire manuscript because it really sounds interesting. And so I would suggest when folks write a synopsis that they really share them with their critique groups and fellow authors, and to get them honed and polished so that they capture their imagination. I would also encourage them not to share them with relatives and good friends, because all they're going to say is, gee, that's great, and it's practically useless, because they're not going to give you an honest feedback. So you really need to work on that and try to accomplish the things that I said.
Okay, Steve. I'd like to turn the tables a little bit. And what questions should a prospective author ask of the publisher?
Well, they need to know what kind of publisher they're dealing with. Are they dealing with a traditional royalty house where the publisher is going to buy their manuscript? Or is it a subsidy arrangement where they're going to be paying the publisher? What are they trying to achieve? And both are legitimate publication avenues. Depends on where you are in your career, which one you achieve. But I think you want to find out things like, and you'll see this if you can get an offer from them. You know, what kind of, do they pay advances? And that's one of the things we do at WordWrite. That's always nice for authors. Who's going to retain the rights and that of the book? Now, if it's a subsidies, I would really encourage you to stay away from any subsidy presses that say they're going to hold the rights for any number of years. Now, if it's a royalty press, you're going to be selling the rights to them. That's just the way that business works. So they're taking all of the risk for the investment. So you definitely don't you don't get to keep the rights. But there are some rights you can keep. So I would do you get foreign language rights? So those are some of the things you would look for in the contract about that publisher. You might ask them what they're going to do to help you to promote the book as well. At WordWrite, we do some things, but we don't do things like you used to hear about 20 years ago, where there's a big budget for the send the author out to travel around the country and make speaking presentations and do book signings. So those are very, very rare. But there are some things you can do, like we do find speaking engagements for you. We help promote you via our newsletter. And we invite you to book events. Like if we go to a book show, we always bring our authors, and we don't charge them anything to come into the table, into our booth space. So look and see what things they're going to do to help you sell the book as well.
I would just like to remind the listeners that they can phone us at 712-432-3000, access code 347-656, and pose a question to Steve, or they may also email info@authorsaccess.com. And I just want to say that you're listening to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. If you're just tuning in and you may have missed the first part of the show, be sure to visit our website at authorsaccess.com, where you can find podcasts of all our shows. And Authors Access is actually a joint production of Reader Views and Lovingly Press, who solely are responsible for its content. And Steve, I have another question for you. At the beginning, you also talked about not mixing genres. And again, as I'd like you to expand a little bit more than that, because it seems that every book always flows into some other genre. It may be a novel, or it could be a memoir, but also it could go into mystery, or it could go into self-help. And just explain that as to the dangers of mixing too many genres.
Well, for new authors, it becomes a marketing problem because they're not known. And so for most new authors, they're not going to be known unless they're famous already for some other reason, or they're infamous for some reason. So you're going to have to try to target market segmentation. What's the type of person that's going to read this book, and then try to maximize your effort. And when you start mixing the genre, it becomes a marketing problem because you're not sure. It doesn't quite appeal to the, to the one type of reader who's looking for romance, whereas the other type of reader was looking for a Western, let's say. And so they both come away a little disappointed because there wasn't enough of what they were looking for. So that's the reason that we encourage new authors not to mix the genre, because of the marketing problem it creates.
So basically that is about the marketing. And you spoke quite a bit about the marketing plan, and really impressed the fact that the author has to be an expert. And, sometimes that's a really scary thought, because, of course, we always question ourselves, what are we an expert in? So it just helps us draw out how we can really find out what we are experts in.
Well, that's I think that's where that whole self-evaluation form that we have helps you, because you will answer these questions and score the appropriate points for all of your answers, and you'll get a pretty good understanding of where your strengths and weaknesses lie. But really, most all of us are very knowledgeable about something, and the trick is it something that has appeal to a wide enough audience that a publisher would be willing to invest in it? For example, I'd give you a silly example. Perhaps you were an expert at making doilies, and you wrote a book about how to make doilies. Well, you might not find a large readership out there for such a thing, but on the other hand, suppose you were a detective for a large metropolitan city, and you were now retired, and you were in the vice squad, and so you have all of this knowledge about how the vice squad operates, and you write a novel that's set in that type of milieu. So obviously you'd have a greater market, because people are far more interested in detective stories and murder mysteries and that kind of, and crime stories, than they are in learning about doilies. So somewhere in between there, we probably all fall, and you have to leverage what you know about.
Steve, many writers are actually introverts, and they do really well in writing. They can express, they can talk, they can present in the written word. But when it comes out to actually being in front of an audience, and you're talking about 250 people or more, wow, that's really scary.
Yes, it can be. In fact, I think we've probably all heard that the number one fear, people fear public speaking more than they do death. And another way to look at that is that people, if they were at a funeral, they'd rather deliver the eulogy than, or they'd rather be in the casket than deliver the eulogy. But what we try to do is encourage our authors two ways. One, if they have that fear of public speaking, they really need to work on getting over it, and we encourage them to get involved with Toastmasters. And go look up Toastmasters. There's probably not hardly a community anywhere that doesn't have a Toastmasters club, at least one or another, or one nearby. And it's a very non-threatening, helpful way to improve your public speaking skills. And another great organization within Texas is the Heart of Texas Professional Speakers Association. And there, you cannot even be a member unless you are already a professional speaker, by how they define that, actually make money. But you can go to their meetings, and the meetings are wonderful ways to learn about public speaking. So we encourage our authors to do both of those things.
Okay, Steve, I'd like to get into the nuts and bolts a little bit of competitive analysis. I mean, how does an individual author find useful tools?
One of the things to do in the world of competitive analysis is to look, go to some of the big bookstores and look on the shelf there and see what books are the most similar to the ones you're trying to do. And those are basically your competitors. And one of the things that's really difficult is to know how well is that book selling, but You can dig around on that. You can find out when it was published, how long has it been on the shelf. Can you find reviews about it in major book review newspapers that do book reviews? Really dig into what the books are that are similar to you. What are the publishers that are publishing them? That can also let you know where you might want to submit it, because you can see they're already doing that type of book. It's not an easy task, but it's a very useful task to delve into that as much as you possibly can find out.
Are there specific industry publications or newsletters where I can find out, what's hot in my genre, that kind of thing?
Well, yeah, just even the New York Times bestseller list, you can look on there and see what type of books are hot, and there's other lists that are similar to that. You can look back over time, and I'm not aware of any industry magazine that's doing that for you. There may well be somebody out there doing that, but that might not be a bad niche magazine if it doesn't exist, or service to provide to authors, but I have to be honest, I don't know if it exists.
Steve, you had mentioned earlier in your talk about agents, and one of the questions that the publisher poses is whether or not the author has an agent. Now, it's not easy to get an agent, And I'm just wondering how critical that really is to have an agent before you go to a publisher, because, or does an agent actually find the publisher?
Okay. Well, it depends on the publisher you're approaching, and that's one of the places the author needs to do their homework. Some of the major houses will not talk to you unless it's via an agent, so you can forget about even sending them anything. Other publishers, the mid-size and the smaller ones, very often will work with you without an agent. The best way, I think, to find an agent is, obviously, you got to research them kind of like you do the publisher. What kind of books do they handle? You'll send them query letters and see if you can generate their interest with that one-page synopsis that we talked about being so important, to see if you can get their interest. I can tell you how my wife got her agent. She had quite a reputation because of being an expert in the area of journaling, and Macmillan Press asked her to write a idiot's guide, one of those orange books, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Journaling. And she was smart enough at that point. She had already done all her homework. She knew exactly who the agent that she wanted, but really had no way to approach them yet. And when Macmillan said that to her, she said, yes, I'll get my agent to give you a call. Well, she didn't have an agent at that point. So then she called the agent, and it was a no-brainer, because here was an unknown person, relatively unknown person, calling, saying, I would like you to negotiate a deal that has already been offered. And she's been with this agent now for 4 or 5 years as a result of that. So that was being pretty smart to leverage a potential book contract into getting an agent. But it is difficult. It takes persistence. It probably takes as much persistence to get an agent as it does to then go on to find the publisher.
You know, there's just so, so much to this, and sometimes it could really get overwhelming. But you had earlier spoken about that you have actually a book called Special Delivery that you are willing to give to the first 25 people that email you,
right.
And also you have a self-evaluation form. Steve, would you just remind our listeners how they can get these items from you?
Yeah, just send me an email at WordWrite, it's WORDWRIGH@bigbend.net, and just either ask for, or you could actually ask for all of them if you want it, the Special Delivery book, the marketing plan template, or the self-evaluation form to see, you know, where you are. And then the other one is the newsletter itself, which is called The Right Stuff. And so any one or all of those are available to people. The only limitation is on the one on the book. We'll only send that to the first 25, but for the others, I'll send that to everybody that sends a request.
Great. And so the Special Delivery of the book actually is a hard copy.
It's a paperback.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 6x8 paperback.
Wow. That's very generous of you. And your website again is WordWrite, WordWrite.biz.
Right. And our submission guidelines are on there as well.
Oh, good.
Right.
Good. So I've been to your website, and there's actually a lot of things to browse around and a lot of information to download. And so this is really, this is great with the self-evaluation form, too, that they can get in this book. To the listeners, what I wanted to do is just invite them to go to readerviews.com. Victor from Loving Healing Press, my co-host in this show, and ourselves are actually having a literary award. What we plan to do is collect stories on transformation and publish them in a book. So as the listeners, if you would just go to www.readerviews.com, and on the right-hand side in the link side, there is a place where you can link to the literary awards. Gosh, Steve, is there anything else that we haven't covered? I know we could just talk and talk and talk for a long time, but unfortunately we have to take this to the end and close off. But I certainly want to give you an opportunity. If there's just some last words that you want to tell our writers.
Encourage people to keep writing and keep learning about the craft and be persistent. It really can be done, and lots of people have done it before you, and you can succeed if you really try.
Well, thanks, Steve. You've been a great guest.
Oh, thank you. I've enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Great. Next week's topic will be the life cycle of publishing a book from start to finish, and our special guest who will be joining us is Elizabeth Burton of Zumaya Publications. You can learn more about our guests, past, present, and future, on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. To hear a podcast of today's show or to listen to podcasts of previous shows, please visit our website, authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson of Austin, Texas, signing off.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.